Meters and More is a leading open solution for smart metering and other applications used in completed and ongoing rollouts. It is supported by over 40 leading member organizations, and worldwide, over 40 million smart meters are operated using the Meters and More technology.
Welcome to the Smart Energy International podcast, your guide to innovation and trends in the global power and energy sectors.
Hi, I'm Claire Falkven, your host. Today, we are going to be talking about the evolution of the Meters and More standard, exploring the reasons for the association's creation, the celebration of a major milestone, and get an idea of the focus areas for 2021 and beyond. I'm joined by newly appointed Meters and More General Manager Carlo Maria Drago and Alessandro Lasciandare, who is a technical expert and member of two of the association's technical committees. Carlo, perhaps you could talk us through what Meters and More is and why the association was formed.
Sure. Thank you, Claire, and good morning, everybody. Meters and More, SBL, is an open, no-profit organization. It's based in Brussels, was established in 2010, and the goal was to promote the Meters and More protocol for smart metering in an open way, assuring product interoperability, a neutral certification process, standardization at European at international level, and a continuous integration of technological evolutions. The Meters and More Association was relying on the Enel Smart Meter project that back in early 2000 was the reference case on massive meters rollout. Together with Endesa, ST Microelectronics, CESI, and other founding members, they wanted to overcome this and coming to define a robust open technology suitable for AMI systems, matching the mandate M441 of the European Commission that was requiring at that time SEN, SENELEC, and ETSI standardization bodies to develop an open architecture for utility meters that was involving communication protocol and enabling interoperability. Now, the Meters and More technology, that probably is better known as Smart Metering Information and Telecommunication Protocol, is a set of protocols, we call them profiles, that aim securing an end-to-end communication for smart metering, providing the identical messages protocols for all communication interfaces among the different components of any modern AMI architecture. These components include a central system that manages the whole smart metering network, data concentrators that collect data provided by smart meters, the meters devices itself, and local O&M devices for local management of data. Basically, I think these are the key points of the association.
I believe that this year is the 10th anniversary of the association. How has the association developed itself compared to what you initially envisioned? And are the goals that were set when it was founded, have those actually been achieved?
Well, today, Meters and More is one of the technologies recommended by the European Open Meter Project and the European Standardization Organization, SENELEC. And this in compliance, as I said, with mandate M441. Indeed, Meters and More protocol is internationally recognized as a technical specification for smart grid communications inside SENELEC with the identification CLC TS50568. And I think still nowadays is the most widely deployed communication protocol for remote meter management. Since its foundation, many of the world leading companies and institutions from different business sectors representing all the smart grid value chain have joined the association. Today, we have 40 members around the world, and we work mostly in South Europe and South America. The association has been organized in the most suitable way to reach these targets, enable interoperability among devices, applications, and services by open industry specifications. And this without IPR limitations, ratified by a certification process to ensure product compliance with the meters and more specifications and to drive protocol evolution. There is a board of directors in charge for the definition of strategic guidelines, key decisions, and steering the association. And then we have committees. We have two technical committees. The technical committee for protocol specifications is in charge for the protocol specification definition, maintenance, and evolution. Interoperability among meters and more devices, which is the primary concern for any open technology, is guaranteed through an extensive neutral certification process that is developed and monitored by the second technical committee, the technical committee for certification. In addition, we have a promotional committee, committee for communication activities that overall oversees meters and more marketing and protocol dissemination.
I remember when the initial rollout was taking place in Italy and just the sheer scale and the vision that Enel had at the time. And I guess that's part of the reason why you need to have something like meters and more to help underpin this incredible vision that was put forward by Enel for what was then and is probably still one of the largest smart metering rollouts of the time.
Yes, well, you know, Enel experience is our foundation, is our major asset. But, you know, one experience does not make a market, does not make a contribution to the European goals by itself. And what the association wants to do exactly is to open the discussion, open the technology, open the evolution to other players that want to rely on this experience and from that point onwards push for new evolutions.
So that actually does bring me to another question, and that is, what are the milestones and achievements and possibly even some of the highlights that you can think of when you look back over the last decade?
But as we said, the major effort was to move from a single, extremely interesting experience of one utility to an open protocol. So basically, I would list three major points. Mm-hmm. For sure, one or even the main milestone that has been achieved is the recognition of ESMIT protocol as a technology recommended by European Open Meter Project. And the award of technical specification status to, as I said, the Senelec TS 5050-568 from the European Standardization Organization, Senelec, exactly, complying with the mandate of the European Commission. So this is the, I would say, the major milestone that we had achieved in the last 10 years. A second point, I would recall the definition and setup of a neutral certification process, as I was saying before, developed and monitored by the Association Committee for Product Certification. This is key because if we want to have an open protocol, we need to have a neutral certification process. And in 2015, we appointed the first company, CESI, as the first laboratory accredited as meters more test provider. Now we have other companies ongoing under the certification process to become accredited providers, test providers, as well as new products underway on their certification process. And third, I would say this opens to the future. The third achievement, I think, is a smart energy gateway protocol specification and demo that has been defined as part of the Beyond the Meters program of the association. And this will be the starting point, I would say, for the coming year's evolution. These are technical achievements that drive meters and more to a large penetration in the market. As you were mentioned before, we have more than 45 million deployed devices, mainly in Europe and Latin America. Meters and more, I would say, is the most proven PLC technology in the field. Robust, optimized, high performing, meters and more communication for smart meter readings and management has enabled cutting-edge tariffs and services for DSO and customers, even in highly demanding regulatory environments, making big data collection and analysis easily available to DSO. We have reached the point where meters and more protocol is without any doubt an optimized and field-proven technology for high-performance, scalable, upgradable, and open extensions metering solutions.
I suppose the field-proven part of that comment is one of the most important, because, of course, we all know that interoperability in and of itself is incredibly hard to achieve. And it does help that you have got, well, the benefit of over 450 million devices that are proving that level of interoperability.
Yes, well, you know, as we said before, you can approach a new technology, a new experience in two ways. You define the rules and then try to apply them on field, or as this is the case of meters and more, you have an excellent outstanding experience, the Enel Telegestore project, and then you want to make this something that is not limited to Enel, but something that any company, any provider can join and leverage for their own purposes. And this is what exactly what we try to do.
Thank you, Carlo. And Alessandro, I'm going to shift part of the conversation to you now. Carlo mentioned the Beyond Meters program and the fact that there was a smart energy gateway as part of that program. Now, the gateway was launched about 2 years ago. Can you perhaps just talk us through the Beyond Meters program, how it's progressing, and what the next steps are in this evolution?
Yes, thank you, Claire. The protocol specification of the Smart Energy Gateway, that internally we call the End Customer Device Profile, and the demo are both part of the Beyond the Meter program of the association. The idea is that making consumption data available in nearly real time to the end customer has proven to be a fundamental step to reduce energy consumption and the energy demand. In this context, Meters & More extended the protocol for the communication between the smart meter and in-home devices, enabling not only the exchange of energy consumption information, but also the definition of new services. The first prototype of the Smart Energy Gateway implementing the new protocol extension aims at accelerating the smart energy and Internet of Things benefits for consumers. Of course, in accordance with the European Commission recommendation on how the DSO provides energy consumption information to the end customers. Mm-hmm. About the technical aspects, the Smart Energy Gateway uses the Senelec band C, let's say the band between 125 and 150 kilohertz, more or less, to deliver metering data directly to the residential customers, and enabling new energy use cases such as demand response, prepayment, alarm, and power limitations. Well, beside that, we can say that this part of the communication has been successfully tested in Italy, not only in the prototype, in the so-called chain 2, which enables for the first time 35 million Italian customers to access their own metering data in nearly real time. And this has been recognized as the long-term solution for electric energy stakeholder engagement in Italy. As a result of this experiment, the Chain 2 has been officially accepted by the Italian authority, and the experiment confirmed that Meters & More is a viable, complete and affordable protocol suite, and that we are able at the end to give added values, not only to the utilities, but also to the community. So what's next? Well, since at Meters & More, we have full control of the entire communication stack, from physical layer to application layer and data model, the extension to new applications, such as, for instance, street lighting and new services, can be easily achieved. And this is the goal of this Beyond the Meter program.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. Have you got anything that is currently in development, or is that part of the plans for 2021, without getting too far ahead of ourselves here?
Of course we have. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you in details, but for those who are attending this podcast, I can say join us to see what we are envisioning, and also giving us some more ideas on what to go on where to go next.
Okay, well, that's definitely, I think, a really good call to action. Because you are the technical expert, Alexandra, I wanted to ask perhaps also some technical questions. One of those is really about the benefits of free versus paid for bands. And then also perhaps another one that I think is quite important to consider is how the SMITP protocol operates in noisy environments, and then how you are addressing the issue of cybersecurity. So perhaps let's start with the benefits of free versus paid for communication bands.
Yes, Claire. More than talking about free versus paid, which could be a bit misleading, and we are going to see why, I would prefer to start talking about licensed and unlicensed bands. Mm-hmm. Licensed bands are those for which an entity, for instance, a mobile telecom operator, pays a fee to the authorities to get the right to sell their services to the user. And they are the sole provider in this band, taking care of the service operation and maintenance. And of course, this has a cost. So we could, for the final user, and we can mention this as a paid band. But also the unlicensed band is not for free, because at the end, the user has the responsibility and the relative cost, of course, for the design, the operation and maintenance of the communication infrastructure. So the cost advantage of the unlicensed band respect the licensed one, which is present anyway, cannot be the only driver for a decision. Looking more in details on the difference between the two, the main advantage of the unlicensed bands are two: the technological independence from the telecom operator, mm-hmm, and the possibility to build an on-purpose network instead of adapting the system to a general-purpose one, for example, the cellular network. The main disadvantage, on the other hand, is that mainly in the RF, the radio frequency, the unlicensed bands are usually crowded, and they will become more and more in the future as the Internet of Things traffic increases. This is valid for sure for RF, but what about power line? Well, power line technology, which works on unlicensed bands, has several advantages versus radio frequency. First of all, the communication medium is owned by the utility or the energy distributor itself, and this provides total independence from third parties, also allowing to control the performance of the network and to achieve the high demanding targets set by the regulators. As a second point, a power line communication infrastructure is intrinsically much less accessible than a wireless network by malicious parties. And this gives a security advantage of power line versus radio frequency. And also it is subject to less interference and less concurrent users respect to radio frequency, in particular when unlicensed bands are used in RF, as we have seen before. And moreover, in European countries, there is a specific band, the Selele-K band, let's say the one between 9 and 95 kilohertz, which is dedicated to the utilities. And that's an evident advantage in terms of interference, traffic, and technology independence.
Thanks very much. I think that you've raised some really interesting points there. And how does that then translate, or how does that then affect the SMITP protocol's ability to operate in noisy environments?
Yeah, you are right. SMITP has been designed to operate in noisy and harsh environments because in PLC, it's quite common to have low impedances, strong frequency selectivity, high attenuation, which is not the case always for RF for the RF medium. The main criteria that guided the development of meters and more technology were efficiency, robustness, and security. Efficiency, which is achieved through dedicated low overhead messaging schemes, for instance, through an automatic network configuration and an overall low complexity at the meter side. The robustness, which is achieved through use of phase modulation, strong channel coding, efficient routing, and at last, the security, where we deal with the specific encryption and authentication mechanism based on the well-known AES standard. So, to conclude, we are aware of the fact that there is no perfect technology fitting all the use cases. Anyway, I think that we have the right mix of technology and flexibility to easy fit with most of the smart grid use cases.
Yeah, I think that is perhaps a really important consideration, is that there is no one size fits all communication protocol out there, but the idea really, I guess, is to try and get and to use the one that most suits 90, 95, 99% of your needs.
Indeed.
And is there anything else? I mean, and you've touched on security already, but is there anything else that you would like to add about the cybersecurity elements of the protocol?
As I said, the current specification makes use of the well-known AES standard, through which encryption and authentication are guaranteed. For sure, there could be in the future some evolution on that. There is always evolution on the security, and we will see in the market in the next years more and more attention to this as soon as many Internet of Things devices will come up. From a certain point of view, we could say that metering and meters more among the metering technologies are forerunners in the security respect to Internet of Things, where the security aspects were raised after the introduction of the automatic meter reading.
Okay. Well, I certainly look forward to seeing how you are able to tackle this, because security is obviously one of those topics that is A, incredibly important, B, incredibly difficult to understand if you're not a security expert, and I think C, something that a lot of people understand is important but don't really want to address. So I'm glad that we have experts who are taking care of that for us. Carlo, I am going to pose the last question to you, and that is really as the fact that you have recently joined Meters and More as the general manager. And I wanted to ask what your plans are for the association in the future. What does 2021 hold, and what is your longer term vision? If you could share that with us.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me say that I'm honored to have joined Meters and More just at its 10 years birthday. My first goal and action was to present myself with all the members. I had one-to-one discussions with all the companies already involved in the association and contributing to the works that Alessandro was explaining before. Well, what comes out of all these discussions clearly is that I recognize that it's just time for the association to set up goals for the next 10 years. So put in place a new long-term vision. I mean, I think the market is asking to leverage our strong technology that everybody today is recognizing in place, and that is, as we said before, it's already clear, it's reached stability, reached the target to be open, to be flexible, to be robust, and so on. Mm-hmm. But now we need to move forward. We need to make this strong technology a key support to the overall energy transition that we are facing at European level, at international level. And so I would say the keywords are switching from a smart metering vision to a smart intelligent grid vision, from the empowerment of the end users to managing energy communities beyond the meter. The meter, I think, in these 10, 20 years has become from the last frontier of the DSOs, the geographical energy network, to the connection point between two different networks, the traditional geographical network and what is beyond the meter, that is no more just a few appliances, is becoming real networks with power generation from renewables, electric vehicles connected, domotics that can manage the demand as we want, and so on. Sure. So these energy communities that want to become more and more independent and become small energy providers that want to interface with the traditional and the established DSOs. So this switch in the meter role comes to calls to a completely new role also on the enabling technology. So in the next 10 years, I don't know how quickly, but I'm pretty sure that will become the new frontier we want to move forward to. And how to achieve this? Well, I think basically there are two points. We need to improve the dissemination of the acquired know-how that we have as Meters and More, and all the success stories about smart meters. We need to ensure that this is clear in the market, everybody knows how it works, make it as given. And at the same time, we want to expand the discussion on the new technologies, on the new technology frontiers I was saying before, to a dialogue with new stakeholders, because if we want to face new issues, we need to speak also with new actors and new players, new realities. And this, I think, is the way we can contribute effectively to the European strategic goals for energy. What can I say? I think this is a challenging but exciting long-term program. And I think that Mitas & Moore welcomes new players to join us in this journey.
Well, it certainly sounds like both you and your various committees are going to have their work cut out for them over the next decade. And I think that it's going to be incredibly interesting to see how things develop and change. Obviously, this beyond the meter element of our industry is becoming very exciting, full of incredible developments. And so we're very interested to see how you're going to be filling and operating in that space. By way of ending off, if there was one message that you would like our listeners to take away with them, what would it be? And Carlo, I will give you the opportunity to answer first.
Well, as I just said, I consider where we are now as Mitas & Moore not a reaching point of an achievement, but is a starting point of a journey. So anybody that wants to travel, even in this hard times for tourists, but if you want to enter in a new journey, I think it's a very good time to join us, come and visit us, discuss, try to establish new contacts.
I think that the takeaway is that we have 10 years, but we are younger than ever. We are open to new challenges, and we need the contribution of many, many of you to get the right direction, to increase our knowledge, and to deliver the best protocol specification that we can.
Thank you, Carlo and Alessandra, for joining us. This has been, for me, an incredibly stimulating conversation. I have obviously enjoyed hearing how the association has evolved, but perhaps more than that, I am looking forward to hearing how all of the plans that you have in place for the future are going to come to fruition. And I'm sure that our listeners as well are going to look forward to hearing how all of this plays out. So from all of us, thank you for joining us on the Smart Energy International podcast. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Mitas & Moore. For more podcasts, you can visit the Smart Energy International website at smart-energy.com. Be sure to tune in again for more conversations and insights into the things that really matter to our industry. Until next time, I'm Claire Falkveen, and you've been listening to the Smart Energy International podcast.